You are Locked On Pacers, your daily Indiana Pacers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Pacers fans, welcome to a Monday edition of the Locked On Pacers podcast. We are going to talk about the week that just happened and the week coming up with Adam later. But first, a very, very special guest, formerly from Yahoo, now starting his own thing at the second arrangement, Kelly Dwyer, a.k.a. KD on Hoops. Kelly, how are you, man?
I'm doing great with my own thing. Thanks for having me on.
That's what I wanted to talk about because it's rare to see these new things pop up every once in a while from such high-profile people, and I want to hear more about the second arrangement and what you are planning to do with it.
I'm planning to have a good time with it, which I think I got away from, as we all have in recent years. And I'm kind of out to try to provide a distraction for what at least my day has turned into, which is just an endless trips to Twitter and and just, you know, scrolling, trying to find little kernels of content that I want. Well, you know, I don't want to get into an ad harangue already, but, you know, clicking out every ad and clicking out every video and also clicking out like, I like Deadspin. I like Jezebel. I should be whitelist. I should, you know, turn the ad blocker off for this site. And it's this constant stream of interruption. I'm looking to put together something that people can wake up to on their phone, wherever they wake up, and just scroll through and have some fun with. Talks about the NBA, talks about some other stuff. It's not going to be jokes, but it's going to be light and it's going to be bright and it's going to be funny, and I'm going to work really hard on it. But it's going to be in everyone's inboxes every morning to hopefully provide some sort of distraction, while they're on the train or while they're, waiting in line in the bathroom or hiding in the cubicle or wherever they may be. It's going to start off with Behind the Box Score as many nights as I can push in. Which is, considering my new lifestyle, quite a few. It's going to have some musical bits. We're going to hopefully talk to some people. We're going to have some podcasts. Eventually, once I can settle on a theme song that I'm still recording, we're going to, we're just going to have a good time. And it's going to be disposable NBA fun that I hope turns into something as addictive to read as it is to write.
Yeah, do you think it'll be more about having other people or having your own columns, sort of like the KD on Hoops from Yahoo that we so know and loved?
If so, well, I hope you'll continue to love me more, because I don't think I was that lovable at Yahoo for the last few years, and that was my fault, because I think we all get into this sort of content thing of waiting for the NBA to throw things at us back, and then we just sort of snap back at it. I don't want to do that anymore. I'd like to be sort of ahead of the game. So it's going to be – we're going to talk about basketball a lot, because there's a lot to talk about pretty much 49 weeks out of the year in 2017 and beyond. And I'm glad about that. I'm so happy that we're five games into the season and it's not even Halloween yet. So it's going to be Behind the Box in the beginning. Then we're going to chat it out. We will get into some bloggier things. We're hopefully going to have some, we're working on features all summer during my unemployment. And it's just going to be nonstop. The conceit is that it's a late night talk show and that you're going to get some fun at the top with, the current events that happen to be games most times. And then you get into bringing people on to entertain and inform and sometimes sell some things. So it's just going to be, I'm already having a blast putting it together. I'm aware I'm chattering away at my fingernails, asking for a quarter, much less the rates that I've been advised to ask for. But, I hope that my reputation precedes me as far as effort goes. And soon the work will speak for itself, because that's the frustrating part right now, is I've got nothing up on the site. But pretty soon, holy cow, stuff on the site.
I, for one, am very excited. I followed your work before, so I'm looking forward to it. And your Behind the Box Scores at Dime the last couple of weeks have been awesome.
I appreciate that. And they're going to get more expensive and sillier and fun. And I think it can be a staple. I think it can be something fun that can take us away from all this nastiness. And it's not going to have the weight of awaiting the next great feature where someone flies out to, Portland to spend a week with the team and deduce all these amazing things. It's okay to have some day-to-day NBA stuff that just goes away after a while.
I agree, and I'm excited to read it. Where can everybody follow it before we talk a little Pacers?
TSA.substack.com. If they go to my Twitter feed, Katie on Hoops, I'll be firing stuff out. It's going to be for the first night, Halloween night, Wednesday morning, the first. That'll be all free for everyone to peruse and have some fun with. But yeah, TSA.substack.com. And just follow me on Twitter for updates.
And it doesn't actually matter for spelling, but it's KD on Hoops and not K Don Hoops, which is a big misconception.
If you're a radio host and I don't have the energy in the morning, or if you're a stand-up comedian that can make light of it, then yeah. But KD.
Well, another thing is that I believe you are an Indiana resident, and this is a Pacers podcast, and I think we should talk about the Pacers.
No, we should, or Indiana, which I'm falling in love with once again.
The gloomy weather this last week has been kind of yucky, but
that's why you got to get out amongst the leaves. You got to get out amongst the flowing lakes and rivers and find your way above the around the muck here. That's at least what I'm figuring out as summer fades away.
I think it's beautiful. I think more people should come and explore this state. But what have you thought of the Pacers so far this year? As we are about five games in with the Spurs game coming up tonight.
Get everyone else thinks they're fun as hell. I'm not going to go and say positionless basketball, because everyone kind of has a position. Even Oladipo, who's working that sort of 80s swingman sort of all around game. It's super fun. They're not even like the fastest team in the league either. It's just those scores tend to run up when they're a terrible defensive team, and I don't know what the plan is, and maybe it's not sustainable with Oladipo, but as you guys have noticed, the way he's playing seems sustainable. I don't know if points per game can crank up into the all-star stratosphere, but he's playing mindful but aggressive basketball, and Sabonis out of nowhere went from a terrible rebounder into –
an amazing
monster on the glass. I don't know what happened there. And everyone else is solid as expected. So, they're a joy to watch. Even Stevenson, when he's clanging all those shots, he's got a little bounce. He's got those October legs. So, no, they're terrific fun to watch. A pleasant surprise. And I'm enjoying the heck out of being wrong about Oladipo, because he's just been I genuinely think it's a terrible sports writer angle, but he had to just watch Westbrook and go, okay, these parts are smart and these parts are ponderous and these parts are going to drag a team down. I don't think I'm out of line in suggesting that Russell Westbrook may have, handicapped his team with his aggression at times last year. That's, Oladipo doesn't mind going out all pell-mell as a B-minus version of Westbrook, or maybe even an A-minus version of Westbrook, but then he'll pull it out and let his, top five offense run a play every so often, which is fantastic, and I would just yell at everyone in this glorious state to try to see this team live, because they are great fun.
It's funny, because I didn't tell you this, but you hit a segue, because me and Adam are going to be talking about the sustainability of Oladipo's play later. You nailed it. I don't think he's done anything that I would say he can't do going through 82 games, outside of maybe shooting 5-6% from three. But who knows, on this new way he's playing, and Adam has said exactly what you said, that he kind of has that, okay, Russell Westbrook taught me how to be aggressive at what times and how to score doing that mentality, and it's really led him to look like one of the better players in the league, and so far the most improved for sure.
Oh God, can we please make it to November without throwing awards around? I'm sure every headline he's had so far is for MVP. I don't have in front of me where he's hitting the three-pointers, and the 45% has to go down. But why can't a guard of healthy, stout stature guard in 2017-18 average 50% shooting from the field in this era, in this time? And, if all these 80s guys are supposedly, licking their chops and champing at the bit to try to come back and play against this no-defense era, then why can't a guy like Oladipo function? And, oh, God, I got to notice he's only doing this in 31 minutes a game. So, yeah, he's not going to be the 50-40-90 guy forever, but, 48 and 38 and just that same free throw rate, and he'll be fantastic for them. So and even if the stats are bunko, and even if they were empty and hollow, he's also been marvelous to watch. It's just his the way he takes chances, the way he prods, the way he's he's free now, and that's really exciting to take in.
It really is. I'm going to let you get going and get back to your stuff. Me and Adam will divulge, into the week that just happened and the week coming up after the Spurs game, and we will all put it together into one for you guys. Kelly, man, thanks so much for coming on.
No problem. Thanks for letting me talk about a fun team.
Yeah, and your awesome new endeavors. I'm excited for the second arrangement. I know a lot of people are. As always, it's at KD on Hoops to follow his work. I know there's some of the behind the baskets are still coming, or behind the box score, are still coming out. So be on the lookout for those. And does the second arrangement have a Twitter yet?
It does. I haven't had time through this wonderful World Series and again, all these falling leaves to put up some tweets that I find appropriate yet. But it's at TS Arrangements. We're taking TSA back, by the way. I'm done confusing one or the other. Follow on that, but yeah, follow the Twitter for all my bleats and twitches for all the exciting news.
They're very exciting. And all right, after this commercial break, me and Anna will be on. And thanks so much for coming on, Kelly. Everyone, enjoy your week. All right, welcome back, guys. I hope you enjoyed having Kelly on, but now it is me and Adam again, and we are after the Spurs game where none other than Victor Oladipo hit an insane game-winning three-pointer with just 10 seconds left to give the Pacers a 97-94 win over the Spurs. It was such an awesome game. Adam, how are you feeling right now?
That three was amazing. They got the switch they wanted to, which is great. I don't know how they got it, but they got the switch to Aldridge on Oladipo, and then he just like stepped a couple inches back, a couple feet back from the three-point line, and just you said it best. You told me he arced it so high, which I didn't realize really at the moment until I watched the replay a couple of times. That ball was ridiculously high. It somehow just goes in, and I mean, he has been incredible through these first six games.
Yeah, I was at the game with my brother, and I was watching it unfold, and it was a Sabonis screen, I think, because he was guarded by Aldridge. And I saw the switch of Sabonis with Danny Green on him, and I thought, oh, wow, feed that. You know, they got the height advantage inside. They're down two. They can take the tie here. And when I was watching Sabonis, Oladipo just bombed it, and everyone held their breath, and I looked over, and it went in, and I was shocked. It was so cool. It was awesome.
Yeah, they went straight for the win, as people would say. They went, and it was incredible. I mean, Oladipo has been incredible so far this season. I said it. When the season started, I thought he was going to put up 20 points a game. I think he's almost a lock now. You disagree with me, sort of, right?
Yeah, well, I think he's going to be has a much better chance than I originally thought, and I think it's still plausible, but I still want to wait till Turner's back to officially make such claims.
Yeah, no, you're right. You know, he's been so efficient, right? He was 7-14 today. I think he was 7-8 from the line and 2-3 from three-point range. I mean, that's 50, 66, and somewhere in the 90s in my head, off the top of my head, those numbers percentage wise. So, I mean, yeah, he's been super efficient, but he only played 29 minutes today. And if he had played the 36, 35 that he usually played, I think he would have maybe got the 30 points tonight, even because the two times he was in the game for extended periods was like the first 6-7 minutes and then like the last 9 minutes. And both those times, the Pacers just torched the Spurs because really they went up like 20-12 to start this game and they were killing them. And then Oladipo got a second foul. And then so did Sabonis, and that threw him off. And then so that's why when they were down, I think like 7 when he came in, I was like, well, there's a chance Oladipo could bring him back because they were doing so well with the real starting five or the new starting five with Sabonis in and when Turner's hurt. So I thought there was a chance. And of course, I think he had what? How many fourth quarter points did he have, you think?
I don't know off the top of my head. I don't want to guess.
I want to say
16, I think is it. I think he had 7 going in.
Yeah, I want to say that sounds right. I was thinking somewhere between 12 and 14, so maybe even 16 sounds right.
Dang, I can't remember now. But, well, you said the first quarter run, which was very different because he added that impact where he, you know, drives and kicks and stuff because, you know, Bojan was going off in the first quarter and Thad Young hit both of his threes in the first quarter and Sabonis was sitting his shots. So his impact was more just being quick and making the defense shift to get shots for others, which in the fourth quarter he decided it was his time to shine.
Well, even – I mean, I think he had – I mean, he probably had all his points in the first quarter, it seemed like, or that least first 6 minutes. But, yeah, he was doing a nice job because he was such a threat out there of sort of dragging defenders into the lane with him. And then he had a couple times at Bojan where he just threw it like some incredible passes to Bojan. He was just wide open from three, which is really kind of how they looked really good to start this game because Bojan probably hit his first two or three threes. Sabonis didn't miss the entire night. So whatever he was shooting, he was making in the first quarter. And they came out and they just – looked like they were going to rock this Spurs team. And almost, I thought they were going to blow them out. I'm like, they're up 20 to 10 with 6 minutes in. And then things start to fall apart as Sabonis gets in foul trouble. And then they have to bring in Jefferson. And then they go with that weird lineup in the second quarter.
Oh, we had to talk about it, don't we?
Yes. That you told me is the entire, it was an entire bench lineup, right? It was the Leaf, Jefferson, Young, Joseph, and Stevenson.
Yeah, so that group only played, I don't know how much together, only maybe 2 or 3 minutes together. But the fact that Joe Young came in at all was eye-opening to me over Wilkins. But he actually was okay. He made a, he made his catch-and-shoot three, which looked nice, and his defense was no worse than Leaf or Lance's or anybody like that. So it was cool to see him get a run. Maybe that's more of a mainstay you'll see, because the reason that happened, I think, is because Oladipo was in foul trouble. Joseph was the first sub in at the two, so they needed a backup point guard to sub out Collison, so they went with Young, and he was okay, you know. That's kind of what you want. But, yeah, it was an odd group with a lot of youngsters, and they really choked away the lead against, you know, the Spurs machine that will just destroy the young kids.
I think we're going to see more of Young. I don't know why. I think he proved that he could be on the court for a small sample period of time. I mean, like you said, I wouldn't be mad if he took some of Stevenson's minutes, just to be honest. The way Stevenson has played this first six games has been terrible. I know sometimes you have to give guys more than six games before they get going, but Stevenson has looked awful. I mean, he was 1 for 5 today, which is terrible. But, I mean, I think once Turner comes back too, I think there's a good chance you could see Young kind of slotting in as a semi-backup point guard. I mean, he plays, let's say Collison played 35 minutes, so maybe he plays 30 to 35 a game. You know, Joseph plays 9 of it, and then Young plays the other 9, per se.
Yeah, it's you got to find a way to kind of supplant around Lance and keep him off the court because he's been so bad. What you just said, he was 1 for 5 tonight, correct? That puts him at 13 for 50, so he's shooting 26% on the season. It keeps getting rougher and rougher for Lance, and his defense has just been okay. I think his defensive rating is like 115 or something. He needs to – I don't know what you can do because of Glenn Robinson's injury. It's just so tight on that reserve wing, and it makes that reserve unit so much weaker even when you have a guy like Joe Young out there. And the update is Lance Stevenson's PER now is now 2.1.
So what's a good defensive rating for people who maybe don't follow the ratings numbers as well as you do?
Well, early in the year, it's different because there's so many – you haven't found out all your lineups that work well and stuff. So right now it's about 105. Is about league average, and Lance is at 115.
Okay, so way below, basically.
And offensive rating and defensive rating have the same average, so assume 105 is an average offensive rating. Lance's offensive rating is 73.
Yeah, I was going to say, I was gonna guess in the 80 just because I wasn't sure, but Lance has been, they've won almost in spite of him at times, it feels like, and he's been so bad, and I mean, luckily, they're not paying him very much, so that doesn't really matter. And so you just have to see what happens with him long term, if they can keep him. But I like to see Joe Young take some minutes from him.
I would too. There's no point in not at this point, right? It can't be worse.
Yeah, no, and even, you know, you could justify playing Lance if he could just play defense really hard, right? You could justify, kind of like the way that Grizzlies used to justify playing Tony Allen, was like, well, he's such a good defender that at least makes it up. It's kind of the way you do on the flip end with guys where they're so good on offense that you can justify playing them, you know, in a lineup. Like Bogdanović is kind of that sometimes, where he's not a great defender, but he's so good on offense that it outweighs that. But, I mean, Stevens hasn't played well on either side of the floor. I do wonder, though, if Jefferson, who, yes, has played bad, but has been, you know, decent enough when filling in the role, because I don't think he thought he was going to play this much to start the season to begin off with. But I wonder if Stevenson, maybe as a bonus in, you know, that kind of lineup, which is going to be kind of, I assume, the when Turner comes back will be as a bonus Stevenson off the bench lineup, if that might work better.
Yeah, or maybe I hesitate to say this, but, you know, keep Al Jefferson playing and then put Leaf as the backup three. Then you could keep him out a little bit longer just because Leaf has at least shown some promise.
Yeah. My only thought with the Stevenson's bouncing is, remember how good Stevenson was with I'm blanking on
the boy Allen,
Serafin. The way Serafin and Stevenson played was like that kind of pick and roll kind of thing that Sabonis is pretty good at. Oladipo and Sabonis run that sometimes, where you see Sabonis was at the pick and Victor would kind of like scroll out, and then there was a play where I know for sure Sabonis kind of rolled to the right a little bit and Victor kind of threw it between the defenders, and Sabonis got a nice little jumper going from it. So there's that kind of possibility, because we have to think about that. The current bench unit is not going to be the bench unit in in a week, hopefully, when Turner returns, because you're going to have to push Sabonis to the bench, which actually could be good for the bench because he could add a spark. But even if maybe that even pushed Thaddeus Young to the bench minutes some more. So it's going to be a little more depth. And I think Jefferson out there sort of drags everybody down at times on the defensive end because he's just so bad.
Yeah, it's just going to be a conundrum until Glenn Robinson is back, and we can keep guessing at what the best is going to be. But for now, I think we just have to say that I like Joe Young playing some of Lance's minutes.
So do you think when Robinson comes back, they will just cut Lance? I mean, I think there's, if Lance at least plays like this, Robinson returns, it looks like he's back. I think, well, Lance might be on the releasing block,
no,
right away.
No one will trade for him, so I don't think he'll get his team option picked up next year.
But, oh, he's definitely not at this point.
Yeah, it stinks for him. I mean, I thought, like, we talked all offseason, like, all right, that's fine. You know, it's a fine contract. And now I'm like, damn it, I wish we had the $4 million in space.
It's not even four, isn't it? Like 2.5?
It's four.
Oh, it's four. But, like, I don't know. Pacers already have space. I don't mind the $4 million for a roster spot that's like, that he's playing that many. I don't know. I think it's worth it, in my opinion. But he could be actually thrown in. You could think of some kind of if the Pacers try to improve their roster, instead of, you know, we've talked about how the Pacers are going to maybe dump guys for first round picks, but what if they try to make a move to get another guy? He could be kind of, because he's I'm blanking on the word again for this his salary is up next year, so he's a expiring deal.
Yes. Yeah. They have the team option. Yeah. It's great for teams, which is why it'd be good. I just looked this up just because we talked about it. Lance and Sabonis together in 41 minutes are minus 16, but the team has scored 97 points in those 41 minutes. So they're able to score. They just can't stop anybody.
Yeah. But even off the bench, that's sometimes all you need. I don't know. Because the way the Pacers is going right now, the way the game's being played these first six games, the Pacers get out to a lead, 6 to 8 points, maybe more, like the Minnesota game, and the bench blows it. But yep. if the bench could just keep it even, that's good enough, basically. Yep.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And you also have to wonder, too, once Turner comes back, can they stagger Turner and Oladipo to kind of get more offensive input out of the bench?
Yeah, and you'll probably see more Sabonis and Turner together, which will be a good lineup. So
it's actually exciting times.
Yeah, I cannot wait for that. So when he comes back, we're going to be on high watch, but it's going to be interesting because we keep thinking he'll be back sooner, but now they have another back-to-back coming up this week, which we'll talk about in the preview later. But yeah, who knows if he'll play in either of those games. But I would be eyeing the Sixers game on Friday for a return.
Yeah, same. That's what I was thinking about. I did a podcast with Chris Manning from Locked On Cavaliers. We were talking about it, and I said, there's probably a good chance he doesn't play till Friday because you really don't want him traveling. The concussion and just think, I mean, they're concussions, so you just never know. And it's you can't bring them back sooner than, it's not like a hamstring or anything where they can kind of like get a shot or something like that to come back. It's, you got to let the body heal. So I think right by Friday, it'll have been about 2 weeks since he was in the start of the concussion protocol, which should be enough time. It's about the time NFL players take, I think it's about 1 or 2 weeks. So hopefully, he'll be back.
Yeah. You want to talk any more about this past week before we preview the upcoming week?
Yeah, let's do our quick little the thing I clearly lost, our plus minus for this week. The Pacers ended up a positive plus +8. I guessed negative -39. You meant negative -36.
To be fair, I don't think I deserve a win for this.
No, I was going to say, should we make a rule if we're 30 or more off that we just like it's a wash week?
I mean, I was in the negative -30s and they were positive for the week. So I think we should count this as a nobody wins.
Yeah, I'm fine with that. I'm watching you do it on our little Google slide sheet. But I'm going on that. I thought this was, like, honestly, one of the most impressive weeks I've seen from a Pacer team in a long time. Because last year, it was pull your teeth out painful to watch this team at times.
Well, this was best case scenario, right? Because there's no way they're winning the scheduled loss against the Thunder in that back-to-back. So it's like, okay, if they can somehow find a way to beat Minnesota in Minnesota and somehow beat the Spurs machine at home, then maybe they'll go 2-1. But I can't believe they pulled it off.
And they just knocked Minnesota around. I mean, it wasn't even like the Spurs game was a toss. It could have gone either way. They just came out and hit Minnesota right in the mouth, and Minnesota never had a chance. You know, I know Butler didn't play, but I mean, Sabonis was at time with bowling Karl Anthony Towns. Yeah. And I mean, obviously Oladipo was awesome. So average there that. But I thought it was really an impressive week because they played three teams that are probably going to be in the playoffs, maybe teams that are the top five seeds in the Western Conference. And they came away with two wins and they looked good enough in all three games. Like even the OKC game, they went toe to toe with them for a little while. I mean, you think if they have Turner, they could probably go toe to toe the whole game. So it was an impressive week. This team is probably not as bad as we thought coming in, and you know, you got to think maybe 8-7 seed playoff chances.
Yeah, I had them 1-5 through now, and I guess is, so I'm very excited to see them at sitting at 3-3, even though it's only 3-3. But yeah, it's been great. The Thunder game, I had no expectations, and they didn't win. And I even think against Minnesota, we talked about this beforehand, you know, Jimmy Butler's really good, but to see a 23-point swing, heck no. So I think they win that game if he plays. So, you know, they really surprised everybody, including me this week. And the home game against the Spurs, you know, it's a home game, so obviously they have that slight edge. But the Spurs are the better team, so the fact they were able to find a way to win is just spectacular. Especially the week when they have some easier opponents.
I mean, the Spurs game was a pull a horseshoe out of your bleep word, because just like that shot by Oladipo does not go. It goes in like one every 10 times. I mean, you can't shoot that kind of like almost probably 25, 27 footer with that kind of arc unless you're Steph Curry and goes in more than 20% of the time. So that was incredible. And I do wonder though if this week we'll look back when we look at this team 45 games and they're like at 500, let's say this was the kind of week where we realized, oh, this team is better than average. Like they might be closer to 35 wins than they were to 25 wins.
We could look at the October 30th podcast as the best the team looks the whole season, or just right at it, you know?
Yeah, hopefully it's right at it. I do think this is sustainable, though. I mean, as long as guys stay healthy and whatnot, there's nothing they've done that's been like, oh, they can't consistently produce that. Like, yes, they'll have nights where they can't shoot as well as they shoot. Like, tonight was not a great shooting night. They only shot, what you said, 40%, I think. So, I mean, that's not even a good night, and they won. So, you know, and they don't have to beat the best team in the league. They just have to beat all the bad teams to make the playoffs. That's how it goes. You just
include this in your valuation here. Like, we can say, okay, maybe this isn't the best they'll be, but they just beat the Minnesota Timberwolves and the San Antonio Spurs without two of their best six players. Like,
I know.
There's clearly a way that they're better. It's crazy.
But, like, I mean, like, even though those guys were out, I mean, I think we still thought those teams would still beat them even without this player. So at least this team is, like, an average team, I think, which is way better than coming into the season, because they were definitely thought below average. They're definitely not in the Bulls, Hawks, Knicks kind of level right now, or, you know, of the Eastern Conference League. Those are like the three bottom teams that are for sure tanking. They're not in that level.
Speaking of tanking awful teams, should we look ahead to this week when they play the Kings?
Let's do it.
So last week was fun playing some good teams. This week, finally, it seems like some schedule relief. They open the week on Halloween on Tuesday at home against the Kings, who just lost by 27 at home to the Washington Wizards. And I think they're going to destroy the Kings. What about you?
Oh yeah, I mean, right. I'm trying to remember who's on the Kings team right now. I watched Boogie play the Pelicans. So right, De'Aaron Fox, he's been the centerpiece of this team basically. I haven't really caught along a lot of Kings games, I'm going to be honest, because I watch whatever NBA game, big marquee, whatever team are playing, and the Kings aren't on my list of teams I really want to watch that often. So you know, I watch the ball wall thing, but I haven't really watched the Kings that much. So, but I imagine they should be able to just blow them out. They're at home. They didn't have to travel. They've been at home since last Thursday, so there's not like any issues with that. They have an extra day off. You hope they can maybe get a big enough lead. They can get enough rest to be full go against the Cavs the next day.
Yeah, I don't know. I wonder how they'll handle it with the back-to-back, how they'll handle that Kings game. I wonder if they'll do any hello George Hill stuff. I don't know if he played when the Jazz visited last year, but I was like, when George Hill's back in town. Yeah, the Kings are just young, and you know, Vince Carter's not Vince Carter anymore, and Zach Randolph's not Zach Randolph anymore. They're just super young, and that kind of gives them a high variance, but even their ceiling is just like barely enough to win. So I'd be shocked if they lost that game.
Right. There'll be a tribute video for George Hill, I think, at least.
I hope there should be.
You know, as much as Pacer fans are bitter at Paul George, George Hill didn't choose to leave. He sort of got pushed out. Like he was, you know,
he got traded.
Yeah, he got pushed. Well, yeah, pushed out, traded. Same difference. He got pushed out. Like you would say, the Pacers said, "Oh, we need a better point guard. We're going to push you out to get Jeff Teague." I mean, that's how they did it, kind of. Like, but he's a hometown kid. He sort of was part of the revitalization of this new era post Reggie. He was kind of the first. He was kind of that piece. I know he was traded for Kawhi, so that will always be on people's minds. But you know, he deserves some respect as a Pacer player because he's one of the best players to come out of Indianapolis. You know, he's from went to Broadway High School, which no longer exists, but you know, he's one of those kind of guys. And I think no matter what people think, they should be always kind of be happy cheering for wherever he is, because he's an Indianapolis guy.
Yeah, I like George Hill a lot. For the Kings in general, I think some things to watch. Currently, they're fourth in the league in three-point percentage at 38%. And the Pacers aren't exactly the best at forcing teams off the line, so that kind of scares me. But they are second in turnovers, and teams playing against them are first in the league in steals. So I think it's a good opportunity for some of those defensive stalwarts to have a nice game. Teams are shooting the second most shots against them, so this could be another really fast game. Watch out for another 120-pointer from the Pacers. You got anything you're watching for specifically?
You know, I want to watch Buddy Hield just because I haven't watched him in a while, and he was the centerpiece of that Boogie trade. And I just started thinking about, you know, centerpieces of trades since the Pacer trades this year. I know I said I wouldn't talk about the Home Depot trade, but I just did. Sorry about that. Before the podcast, Tony said, don't bring up the Oklahoma City trade and don't bring up he who should not be named. But I'm interested to watch Buddy Hield just because I liked him in college a lot, and so I just want to see how he does. I'm sure it won't be that exciting. And then, you know, maybe the Bogdan Bogdanović versus Bojan.
Yeah, I was going to say
brother matchup.
For the Bogdan Bojan matchup. No, they're not brothers.
They're not brothers, but they're from the same country, right?
They are, yeah. They're both Serbian.
Yeah, so that'd be interesting. They're not, my bad. They're from the same country. So that'd be interesting to watch. Just Did they both play on the?
Oh my gosh, they're not from the same country. Sorry, no. Bogdan Bogdanović is Serbian. Bojan is Croatian.
Yeah, well, so wow. I don't know how that works because all those countries were part of Serbia at one point. I know it's a huge political issue, so I don't really want to dive into that. But I was gonna say I wonder how much they know each other though, because they've probably played in a lot of the same European leagues.
Help right? They guard each other.
Yeah, I'm interested to see.
For the pictures.
So then do you want to move on to our X Factors and Butchers?
Yeah, sure. They don't really have any dominant centers. Willie Cauley-Stein's okay. Costa Kufos is okay. Harry Giles isn't going to play. So Papa Giannis might not even play. So I think could be another Sabonis game. I've got a shout-out to iPacers blog here, but the Pacers are 3-0 in games. Sabonis shoots 100%. 0-3 in games. He misses a shot. That's obviously not a sustainable stat at all, but it's hilarious. But I think he could be due for a nice game. They have a lot of young guys who, you know, obviously he's young too, but he's looked great so far. So he could have a nice game against those guys. He could snag some rebounds.
Yeah, especially if he starts. We're all assuming Turner's not going to play. I mean, who knows, I guess, at this point. But yeah, I imagine that Sabonis has been killing it recently. So, mm-hmm. You know, he's not going to be threatened by any of the centers on the Kings roster. I certainly wouldn't be if I were him. I think for my X factor, I'm going to go with Collison. Because there's so many young guards. When there's George Hill too, but Buddy Hield and De'Aaron Fox, there's so many young guards on that Kings team. And I think Collison can sort of exploit that. You know, he's a former Kings player. Remember that. So he was on their roster. So he might know Buddy Hield a little bit. They were on the roster for about probably 3 or 4 months together last year. But I just, you know, see if he can kind of prove to his former team, hey, you know, maybe you should have resigned me. I know he wanted to return to Sacramento, actually. There was a thought that he could return and kind of play with the George Hill role. You know, he had an open about wanting to stay in Sacramento, but they obviously didn't want him. So wanted a little bit chip on his shoulder and everything about that going into the game.
I forgot it was a revenge game. I should have picked him.
Yeah, no, I only remembered because I wrote a couple columns on this summer, and I just remember reading something from the Sacramento Bee about him, how he like wanted to come back and he wanted to be a mentor to De'Aaron Fox, and the Kings were just like, nope, we don't care.
That stinks. He's been great here, so maybe he does have a chip on his shoulder.
which is weird because the Pacers only paid him $10 million a year, and they paid George Hill $19 a year. And like they're like kind of playing George Hill as this as like you could have had Collison in the same role at cheaper, and I'm not sure there's that much of a difference is what I think long like right now. And
I think Collison looks a lot better than he normally is, but I think George Hill's better normally.
Yeah, but I think if you're talking about grooming guys, I'm not sure there's a difference. I think I understand that George Hill is a better player. I think we can all agree he's a better player. But you're talking about a guy to play 20, 25 minutes and sort of groom your next point guard. Collison's making him fit that better because he knows that he is not an elite level point guard. Where George Hill has had times where he's been, you know, he was the starting point guard on a number one overall seed team. Like he thinks he he really took the cash grab this summer basically because another team gave him an offer. But like, I don't think he really wants to be the mentor role that much. I don't really see him as that kind of player.
Yeah, I guess that's right. We got to kind of blow through these because they have 4 games this week, but
yeah,
the Butcher's going to be hard because their offense is really bad. They just scored 83 today against the Wizards at home. I'm not really sure that I can pick a Butcher. So I'm going to do something unique here. I'm going to pick the mentality of the Pacers because they have a back-to-back against LeBron and the Cavaliers. the next night, if they're looking ahead, they might just blow this game off, and that could be the biggest cause of concern for them.
That is such a wimp out move, but whatever. I'll let you do it. It's fine. I don't know.
If I had to pick one, I'd pick Buddy.
I was thinking that or De'Aaron Fox, just because the Pacers have been so bad at guarding point guards. Still, you know, they weren't actually that terrible today. But if Stevenson is going to guard point guards, Jones is going to guard point guards, point guards will continue to feast on this Pacers team, because I think down low the Pacers are actually pretty fine or pretty well. You know, Thaddeus Young and Sabonis are good enough defenders. I don't see like Colley Stein or Scal, you know, having great games. But I could see, you know, if the game ends up being, if I'm guessing the score is like 110-90, something like that, I could see, you know, De'Aaron Fox having 18-20 points.
Yeah, definitely. And he's just a rookie, so he's not going to kill you, but you could have a nice game. It's so weird seeing a guy who's over 2 years younger than me being called the potential Pacers butcher.
He's the same age as me, so. No, yeah, same age as me. He might be a year younger, actually. I don't know.
All right, you're first. What's your predicted final score?
I already said it, 110-90.
20-point win in the first game, huh?
I think it's home game. You know, it's a cross country travel for them. That they were in Sacramento today. So it's a lot for this young team, and Pacers are playing really well. I think they got a lot of confidence going into the game.
I'm gonna go 118-105.
So you were 13, so you're not that much different than me.
No, but I don't think they're – I don't know. I think our offense is bad, but I think the Pacers' defense is kind of mess, so we'll see.
Yeah, I do agree. I just – they weren't that bad today, and I don't think the Kings are, like, some markedly better offense than
– right.
You know, and they don't have – they have too many centers. They don't score enough points.
Well, then the second day is going to be the most fun game of the week. They play the best player in the league right now, LeBron James, and the Cleveland Cavaliers on Wednesday in Cleveland. It is a road back-to-back, but it's technically the best possible road back-to-back just because Cleveland and Indy aren't really that far apart. They could probably play the Kings and still get there by close to midnight, right? So,
do you think they'll even stay in Cleveland? I thought they might just leave the next morning. I mean, right? It's like probably an hour flight, right? It can't be more than an hour and a half to Cleveland. It's a five-hour drive, so it can't be more than an hour and a half flight. I don't know how they do it.
That's a good point. I don't know what they'll do either, but it's still road back to back against LeBron James and the Cavs, who are apparently not as good as anyone thought, because A, they've been struggling and they're 3-3 and they just got destroyed by the Pelicans, and B, they're down 13 with 6 minutes to go to the Knicks right now as we're recording this. That's kind of 15 now. The Knicks just scored. Very shocking stuff. I have it up on my TV literally right next to me. It's very interesting to see that, you know, that the Cavs are struggling, especially on defense more so, you know, after all the guys they acquired this offseason. It's literally been LeBron carrying everybody to just being an okay team. So, I mean, I guess the Pacers have a chance, but maybe LeBron's going to be like, all right, guys, let's get into shape this game.
What's the Zach Lowe tweet? I'm not going to care about the Cavs defense so far. I'm not going to care about the Cavs. That's what, yeah. You know, this is one of those games where they could steal one, because it's so early in the season. The Cavs team that you see right now is not the Cavs team that's going to be the same in April. You know, by April, they'll be in the LeBron shape. He'll have them going like the way he wants them to go. You know, remember last year, Cleveland kind of struggled last year, too. They started off pretty well, but then they were, you know, iffy towards the end of the stretch. Remember, they had end of last year, there was worry that their defense was too not good enough, and they made all the way to the finals. So, you know, this is just one of those where if they could steal this one, it'd be a good kind of positive win for the Pacers, because it would help building this momentum that, oh, we're a decent team. And, you know, you can steal wins against good teams now. It helps you rack up that 35-40 wins you're going to need to make the playoffs.
Yeah, it'll be a fun one, especially just because I love watching LeBron. You know, he's so good at basketball. And
oh, man. It's going to be a sad day when he retires. He might be the best player we'll ever see on a court ever.
Yeah, I like I'm starting to figure out all the chess of basketball and how players move and all that and how it affects what other people do. And, you know, I'm like, okay, I'm caught up. Like, I can understand what's happening when people are moving, and I feel like I'm with the offense. LeBron's two or three steps ahead the time.
I would say he's like five steps in that playoff series last year. Oh, man. I mean, when the Pacers played in the play, I mean, he looks like almost like Tom Brady out there when he's making plays. I mean, like, he just comes down, surveys the floor, says, all right, I'm going to go to this spot, and the guy's going to go this way, and I'm going to throw it here, and this guy's going to be open because his defender's going to come here. Like, it's like watching, you know, it's like a white quarterback brace down a play for during, like, in football. It's just, he's so good at it, and he's just so athletically incredible that he can, like, make passes and, you know, that palming the ball and throw it all across that other players can't do. You know, players see the court maybe the way he sees it, but he has the athletic ability to make every little tiny, like, cross court pass as, you know, perfectly set up to a guy. Like, he's incredible.
Yeah, it's gonna. I mean, I'm gonna pick him as my butcher now, just because obviously he's the one you're worried about the whole game. It's another lazy pick from me, but he's just incredible to watch. He's gonna get 25 plus points, 8 plus rebounds, 8 plus assists every game. It's he's honestly unfair.
I'm gonna pick a different butcher because this guy, the guy I'm gonna pick, has killed the Pacers at times because he gets really hot.
No, he's Kevin. Maybe,
no. He might be the streakiest shooter on the Cavaliers. His name is J.R. Smith. The Pacers do not guard the three very well. J.R. love to take those 25, 27-foot three-pointers. Pacers love to give them to him. And if he catches fire, which is not out of the possibility, he'd hit 7 or 8 of those, and that would just put the game away.
He's like Jamal Crawford, where when he's on fire, he's like a top 10 offensive player in the league. He just bombs them, and you just can't stop him.
He's like, honestly, the closest I've seen a player come to Steph Curry's kind of like just streakiness is JR when he's on fire. He's the only guy I've ever seen that like can be that kind of fire. Steph obviously does it like much more consistently, but if JR has that ability, just like he'll shoot a three from anywhere on the court at any moment with any hand in his face. And if he's like caught fire, he'll hit it. And he like will hit 7 or 8 in a row. And it's just like incredible.
Yeah, it's insane. That's a good choice. He has gone off against the Pacers before. I remember seeing him a lot just like, and he made that half quarter against the Warriors like all the time when he's hot. It's just, he just knows how to put the ball in the basket. It's crazy. That's a good pick. We didn't pick our Pacers X Factor.
Yeah, I thought we were flipping it around. That's why.
No, we did. Still no Turner. So I would pick him just because the Cavs don't really know their front court rotation too well yet. I might pick Corey Joseph here because I just said their front court rotation, but I also don't know their back court rotation. You know, they don't know who starts every game. They've been rotating it a lot. I know LeBron James started a game at point guard recently. That's how much it's been in kind of disarray. So Corey Joseph in the reserves could kind of do some good against Kyle Korver or guys like that and have a nice game, especially on defense.
Yeah, I'm going to pick Victor Oladipo. I know it's a cop-out a little bit, but my one point will be that it's a big game against a, you know, marquee opponent with probably national spotlight. I know it's not on a national TV station, but you know, when you play LeBron, there's another spotlight on you. It's the kind of game where if you're trying to be one of the best players in this league, you step up to it. In the moment, you score 25, 30 points. You know, you have a great night. Paul George used to do this. You know, his biggest moment was always against LeBron in the playoffs. Like that's how you come into becoming from this, oh, I'm a good player to I'm that next level player. So I like to see Oladipo do that.
Yeah, I think that's a good point, especially that it's a marquee matchup and he could totally go off. You want to go first for score picks?
Yeah, I actually have one thought. Do you think LeBron will guard Oladipo?
Yes, I do. I don't think J.R. Smith's going to guard Oladipo, and I don't think Dwayne Wade is going to either.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. I was just wondering if they're going to push him that far. I guess he's been they said he's not going to play point guard. I think D. Rose is back in tonight, so he didn't play point guard. But I just wonder who they're going to put on Victor just because.
Well, he's going to play like that free safety thing that he does.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah. All right. So you want to give your score first? Sorry.
I will. It's my turn to go first. I'm going to go Cavs 101, Pacers 95.
Ooh, I had like 195 in my head. I like round numbers because it's based on total points. So I had a 5 point. They were going to lose by five.
Okay.
Sorry. I know I basically just went right under you, but that's what I had in my head and I didn't want to change it.
That's Price is righted me.
Well, in my defense, Price is righted me last week when I had 39, you had 30, negative 36. So like.
True. All right. After that, they have a day off before. Is it in Philly? I don't actually know. Shoot.
I do. I have the schedule in front of me. And once it loads up, they are in Philly on Friday. And so it's 3 straight road games in Philly on Friday and then in New York on Sunday.
All right. Well, at Philly will be interesting because the storyline is going to be, is Miles Turner back by then? I'm hoping he is. That would be awesome to see him go against Embiid.
Oh, it would also, it'd be great. But I'm you know, concussions are such a tricky thing. I don't know.
I know. And I want him to be fully healed. Like, that's such a scary injury.
Yeah, so. And they're playing pretty well. So, like, there's no need to rush him back. It's obviously not one that's going to get a repeat probably because it's, you know, it's rare to get hit in the head in basketball. It just is. I mean, it doesn't happen that often. It's not like football where, like, you're getting hit in the head constantly. So, you know, just let him heal. Let him make sure he's comfortable before we bring him back.
I agree. And for the Sixers, the big story for them this season has been Ben Simmons. I know Joel Embiid has, you know, all the hype around him because he's an incredible defensive player and is just very entertaining. But Ben Simmons has been an amazing basketball player. He already had a triple-double in, like, his third game. And his averages are, like, 28-8 or almost something like that. It's been unbelievable to watch. And you know, I think he could have a nice game. I think he could have a nice game.
Yeah, I like that. He's going to win Rookie of the Year, I think. I mean, I think at this point, he looks incredible. I was wondering with Do you think what are the odds one of these players gets hurt? What do you think Embiid? I know Fultz isn't gonna play, I think, but just, you know, this Philly team with Embiid too, I always think play more than 30 games before you talk trash. You think somebody gets hurt?
Eventually I think someone's going to. I just don't know who it's gonna be. Just because they're so young. I mean, like you just said, Fultz is already hurt, which they've handled that very poorly, both in the PR and just as a team.
That was the worst.
Yeah, I don't know who I'm gonna I don't wish anyone gets hurt on their team. They're fun to watch. So I don't know. They've been holding Embiid out of games. I think they've been handling him right. So I don't know. I really don't know.
Yeah. No, I was more just like a kind of joke, funny kind of. I just wanted to see what you would say, because I agree with you that, that, you know, Simmons, I want to pick Simmons in my butcher, but I won't now because we're going to talk about him. but he is going to be, you know, he's been really good. And Embiid has actually been pretty solid. And, you know, I don't know how you guard the two center lineup. I don't know how the Pacers will try to attack it because they're kind of a small team. But that's, especially without Turner, the Pacers are like one of the smaller teams in the league. I mean, they start, what, a 6'3 guy at point guard, 6'4 at shooting guard. Bojan, I guess, is probably 6'6, 6'7. But then, like, Young is 6'9. And I don't think Sabonis is like maybe taller than 6'10, 6'11. So there's a smaller team than them. And I wonder how they attack the size of the Philly.
Yeah, so I got Ben Simmons' page in front of me now. 17.5 points, 9.5 rebounds, and 7.5 assists, and he's shooting 50%. Oh, and he's a rookie. So, yeah. He's a good player, and he's learning every game, which makes him even scarier. He's just going to get better and better. But, yeah, I think Joel and him are both good picks for the Butcher. Joel's at 20-10-3. I mean, that's also just unbelievable. Man, these guys are awesome.
Yeah, if we want, we can skip the Butcher part. We can talk about Embiid and Simmons and just skip the Butcher. They are most likely Butchers.
Well, that's another problem with them is you don't know if they're both going to play.
Because yeah.
They hold those guys out of games so often because of, like we just talked about, they frequently could get hurt. And I think, no, they do not have a back-to-back.
No, it's not a back-to-back. I looked it up.
Maybe they'll all play. Yeah, thank you. I was going to do the same thing. So they play Wednesday at home and Friday at home. So they'll probably play. So either of them are good picks. That's a hard one. I mean, I don't know. There's no like sleeper ones, though, because everyone else, you kind of know exactly what they are.
Yeah, and I think with Simmons, too, we talk about him. He is a rookie, but I think that's super valuable, the year he spent just watching with the team try. Like, you know, it takes rookies a little while to adjust to an NBA, you know, lifestyle. It's a whole different lifestyle. You know, the attention you get, the money you make, the travel, whatever. But he had a full year of just like not having to worry about that and just like learning from guys. And I wonder if that gives him a huge leg up. It's like he's a rookie, yes, but he has the second year mentality with the ability of being the rookie stats.
Yeah, well, he's also just really good.
Well, yes, that's true. I mean, Blake Griffin had the same thing when he was rookie of the year. He missed his first year of some kind of knee surgery, and then he came back the next year. And I just think learning, especially when you're in a big market like Philly, just like spending a year just like being like, I'm going to learn from all the guys how they travel, how, you know, what these guys do, habits each day they are to get them in shape, whatever it is. And then, you know, when I get healthy, I'm going to come back and I'm going to be able to do that already versus like learning while trying to be a rookie, while trying to score 20 points a game. Like he at least has some, you know, learn like something in the back of his mind that he knows what he has to like do to be an NBA player every day.
Yeah, definitely. He's got that almost LeBron. I don't want to say LeBron, but that LeBron-esque feel to him already, which is scary. I think he's going to be a dominant player for the next 15 years. Also, how am I older than Jahlil Okafor? That's crazy.
I can't tell you that one. I know Jahlil is a year older than me because I watched him my senior year play his freshman year at Duke in the Final Four in Indianapolis. So I know I'm younger than Jahlil. I am. He was 95. I born 97.
Pacers X Factor.
Oh, this is a tough one. You know, I actually think it could be Bojan for this game. My only thought is the Sixers don't have that great of outside defending. You know, they've got Redick, and I guess Covington is actually not a bad defender, so that's maybe a little bit of a drop on him. But, you know, there are some nights where they're going to have to win from the Bojan stroke, per se, because if he can, you know, some of it was tonight. He looked, you know, he had struggled the first couple games, but he got it back this week. So there's no worries about him. Like, oh, did he have a drop off? But, you know, there's sometimes we have to live by him scoring 20 points because he can hit like 4 or 5 threes, that kind of thing. Right. I mean, he had, how many points did he have today? I'm blanking on that right now. Did he have, Bojan, how many points did he have today?
15.
Yeah. But like, he probably had 10 of those in the first quarter. Maybe 8, 10. I mean, they might live by his stroke. And so we'll see if they can, if that's kind of, because I think it's going to be a high scoring game, like every Pacer game, probably.
You just saw a random tidbit. Bojan missed two out of four free throws. There's like a 1 in 100 chance of him missing two free throws in a row, and he did it during the game, by the way. Random tidbit from the Spurs game from me, the math clerk. My Pacers X Factor is going to be Thad Young. Just those guys who are steady and caretakers against young teams seem to be guys who are going to have good games.
That's a really good pick, because I could see the veteran mindset of just figures out how to like do every little thing to get under all those guys' skins. He did it even against the Spurs. You saw it. I don't know how much you saw from your seats, but on TV you could see a little bit him like smiling, kind of smirking at guys as like he like somebody gave him. I remember there's one play where one of the Spurs players gave him a little shove after, because he was probably talking smack or whatever, and he just like he was getting under the Spurs guy's skin a little bit. It was pretty good. Like he was bumping maybe LaMarcus Aldridge every time he took a little jumper, like little things that weren't called always, but were getting under the player's skins.
Yeah, it's going to be important, especially with him guarding Simmons. All right, you're up first for score predictions.
Oh,
this is a hard one.
This one, I do think they win. I do think they win. I'm going to go away from my round numbers and go 112-100.
112-1. Wow, a 12-point win.
I think Philly is not that good. I'm probably overreacting to the way they played this week against this past week. But if they can keep up how they played last week, I think they're better than Philly. I mean, I think Philly is one of the most overrated teams in the league, because I mean, based on their wins loss projection of 41, like this team hasn't won more than 20 games in the past 4 or 5 years. Like, why are we giving them 20 wins all of a sudden? Why are we giving them 41 wins all of a sudden?
When they are healthy, I think they are better. When they are just natural injury stuff that happens to them more than other teams for some reason, I don't think they're better.
Yeah, well, they're already down Sarge, though, so that's why.
They're down Fultz, right?
Not Sarge, Fultz. They're already down Fultz. I said earlier.
I think it's very even, but I don't know. I don't know. That's a really hard one. I'm going to go Philly 105, Pacers 103.
Oh, wow. That's – all right. I mean, that's what it is. I guess the week will come down to this game once they, you know, blow – once they beat the Cavs by a lot, then we'll both be off again. Which, you know, there's a chance that LeBron doesn't play against the Pacers, because he never does sometimes, it feels like, at times. But who – so the point guard for Philly right now is Jared Bayless, right? Because of – so, I don't know. I mean, I guess, is he better than Collison? Probably not, right?
No.
Yeah, right. So, I'm just thinking, I'm just looking at the points of where is Philly better? They're probably not better in depth.
Embiid's better than Turner. Simmons is better than Thad.
Okay. That's fair. I'm fine with that. But then, like,
Covington's better than Bojan.
I don't know about that one. But Victor's better than Redick. Victor's
better than Redick, yeah. And Allison's better than Bayless.
And then the bench is probably, if Turner's back, the bench is better because of Sabonis.
Yeah, but Rashawn Holmes is good, and he'll be back. I don't know.
And I'm not sure Embiid is. I'm not sure.
Oh, come on.
Embiid is better than Turner.
No. Embiid is better than Turner.
Come on. You're probably right, but also there's a 10-20 chance that Embiid gets hurt.
We can make this our own podcast. Let's head to New York.
Yeah, let's do it.
They close the week on Sunday at the New York Knicks, who, along with the Phoenix Suns, are, in my opinion, the two worst teams in the league. The Knicks are terrible.
Well, some breaking news. The Knicks just beat the Cavs 114-95. This is breaking news. We listen to this podcast on Monday. But for us who are sitting here at 9:30 recording this thing at night, they beat them by 19 points, and Porzingis had 32-12.
He said 30 every game. I've got to say Porzingis, easy choice for Butcher. I'm not picking him, but easy choice for Butcher. He looked awesome. Their first win of the year, that's unbelievable. Second win, they beat the Nets too. Never mind. Wow.
Yeah. They're on a two-game win streak, actually. So they could come into, like, if they end up coming against the Pacers, they could be on, like, a four-game win streak. They play Denver at home. Oh, they have a huge home stretch. The Pacers are in the middle of a five-game home stretch for the Knicks. So,
wow.
It's something.
Well, I think the Knicks stink, so I think the Pacers are going to run them over. They're starting either Ron Baker, Ramon Sessions, or Jarrett Jack at point guard. Who knows? Either way, they're all terrible. And they have no wing defense because Doug McDermott plays. And outside of Porzingis, they really just don't have a lot going on. Let me tell you something. They rank 30th in 3 points attempted, 30th in 3-pointers made, 30th in 3-point percentage, 30th in free throws made, 30th in rebounding, 29th in blocks, 28th in steals.
So wait, how many NBA teams are there? There's 30, right? 30. So they're worse everywhere. They're worse in everything.
Yeah, they in their last in free throw percentage. This is pre-Cavs game, but still, they have been horrible this year besides Porzingis.
Yeah, and I'm looking at just like the points per game stats. They only have two guys averaging more than 10 points a game, and they have Porzingis averaging like probably now the stats from today's game probably aren't in yet, but averaging 27 a game, give or take. Kanter's like 14, and then everybody else is under 10. I mean they have nobody besides Porzingis, and it's sad because he's pretty good. I mean, like hopefully they get a good pick and they can get one of those top three guys that are in the draft to put next to him. But
I like French Frank Ntilikina, but he's still
he's young, he's raw.
Gonna take time. Yeah, they have been bad. They've been very bad, and I think the Pacers are going to have no trouble. And I think this is going to be the game where Miles Turner finally is quote unquote back. He's going to play a full minutes load, I'm guessing. And the Knicks centers have been Enes Kanter, who is notably horrible on defense, Kylo Quinn, who's just not that good, and Willie Hernan Gomez, who's good but only plays like 9 minutes a game. So no worries there.
Yeah, I think this would be a great game for Turner to come back against. It'd actually be really good if he came back against Philly and played like limited minutes, you know, 20.
Yeah, that's
you
what
know,
I want.
You know, it's a bonus takeover. And then you play him full minutes against the Knicks and let him just feast and let him get his confidence back under him. Maybe it's a 28-12 game form kind of thing.
Right, because Courtney Lee is going to guard Oladipo, and Courtney Lee's a pretty good defender. And Courtney Lee's my butcher because he's from India and I love him. He's a pretty good three-point shooter, too. So I like Courtney Lee as a butcher, but we'll get to that later. But, yeah, I just think it's a good game for Turner to finally have a great game. And Collison, too, because, like what we just said, their point guard carousel is horrible.
Yeah, and I imagine that I don't know why. I have, like, this back of my mind strange feeling that it's going to be, like, Joseph or Stevenson's going to have a really good game against them.
I hope so.
So here's why my justification for Stevenson. Stevenson would be he's from New York. Madison Square Garden is the mecca of basketball to some of those people from New York. And I could feel it being one of those. Stevenson has played like crap for 8-9 games. And he has like one of those, like he shoots 5 of 6, hits like 2 or 3 threes, gets to the line, has like 18-20 points. Like, I don't know why I think that, but I have a feeling that could be his kind of night, is returned back to the city.
I will not take it off the table. I am skeptical. I do not think Lance Stevenson is very good at basketball.
I'm not saying he's good. I'm just saying it's like the one game where he would play good against them.
Are we both picking Turner as our X factor?
No, I'm going to change mine. Well, I mean, I'm going to change mine, but you can pick Turner. I'm going to pick Sabonis.
Okay, same reasoning.
Same reasoning, partially that if Turner is back, it's the first game Sabonis off the bench, I assume. So, or maybe for second game off the bench, you know, depending on when Turner comes back, he's going to, I hope by Friday, Sunday is kind of the range. So it'll be interesting. I want to watch Sabonis off the bench because I think, especially against this Knicks team that has just an awful bench, you talked about it, he could like just have an awesome night. I mean, I know he's already had awesome nights, so he's like, he shot 9 for 9 tonight against the Spurs, so I don't know how you do better than that, but he could have a really good night because he could become more of the focal point of the offense in some sense when he's on the bench. I could see some, like I said, with some nice pick and roll action with Joseph and with Stevenson at times, and it just seems like I'm really interested to see how Sabonis plays off the bench because I think he could be the key in the bench kind of not being as bad as it's been the start of the season.
Yeah, definitely. And yeah, their bench is horrible. So he definitely could have a nice game, especially on the glass. Oh, I haven't even checked if they won the rebounding battle against the Spurs. I think they did.
I was thinking of you as they were talking about it. I don't remember what the actual numbers were, but I remember them saying they were
tied.
Winning it.
They tied?
44,
yeah.
Okay, because they were up with about 2 minutes left. They had the lead, but
okay. All right. Well, anyway, yeah, that's a good pick. I think that the post just could have a solid game. The Knicks are not very good and pretty much anywhere, but especially the post and a point guard. So that they are bad everywhere. Their wings are awful too.
Not a good team. They're trying to win 20 games. So they can get Marvin Bagley or Michael Porter or how do you pronounce the guy from Europe? Luka Doncic.
Doncic. Butcher. Obviously, Porzingis is going to have a good game, but. Can we do outside of Porzingis, Butcher?
Well, you told me you were picking Courtney Lee.
I know, I did. But you have to pick still.
Well, then that means I was going to pick Porzingis because I thought you were going to pick. Well, no. I'm going to pick a different guy. Hold on.
Porzingis is the butcher. He'll be the butcher.
So let's see. It's not going to be Kanter, I don't think. I'm looking at the lineup from tonight.
McDermott's an okay pick, I guess. He can shoot.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see the McDermott-Bogdanovich matchup, two of the few white small forwards in the league.
Oh, Bojan, I love you so much.
I mean, let's see. Some big minutes against the Cavs where Courtney Lee played 38. Tim Hardaway played 40. Tomorrow he had 34 points against the Cavs tonight. So he
24
could be
in the first half.
Yeah, he played 41 minutes. Man, that's a lot of minutes for to play.
Knicks are going for wins, baby.
Dude, by the way, Porzingis shot the ball 27 times.
Oh, wow.
So not the, as impressive of a 32-point game, but still. So either some version of McDermott or Tim Hardaway, I think, could have a good night. I don't think it's going to be a close game, so I don't think it's going to matter.
No, I'm not picking a close game. I'm picking a pretty significantly sized 109-94 road win.
All right. I was going to pick 10 points. So I would say, let's say like 105-95.
105-95. You and your 5 points.
Well, I do it in my head on like, are they going to win by 8, 10, 12, like those kind of numbers. And so, I mean, it could be 108-98. Do you want me to say that? 108-98. That way it's not on a 5.
Sure. So for those of you keeping tabs, Adam is plus 37. I am plus 20 as our guesses for the week.
So they have to win. So I think for me to win, they have to win 3 games this week for sure and not get blown out by the Cavs.
Yeah, well, I think all that's possible.
Right. So like, they'd have to win each game by, let's say, an average of, let's say, 15 and lose the Cavs by 8. That's not out of the possibility. They're playing some pretty bad teams this week. I mean, they're playing two of the bottom teams in the league, and Philly is where everything Philly is.
Yeah. All right, I need you to say if you have anything else you want to talk about.
You know, I don't think I do. Coming up on Wednesday, I did a crossover podcast with Chris Manning about the Cavaliers. It was a really good one. I actually enjoyed it. He talked a lot about Kevin Love and kind of how he's played this year. It was a really good one. We gushed over LeBron like we did here for a couple minutes because I love LeBron. No matter what people say about LeBron, he's awesome. And then there should be another show Thursday and Friday. I think Tony has guests for Tuesday and Friday for sure. You want to tell me what you got?
Yeah, I got the fan-sided expert for A Royal Pain, which is the King site for Tuesday. His name's Tyler Watts. On Friday, we have Eric Sidewater from B-Ball Breakdown. And for Sunday, we have Dan Favalli, from NBA Math and Bleacher Report.
Nice. And so a lot of games this week and a lot of actions. There'll be a lot of shows to go with all the action. So I think we planned on doing one month. We posted on the last one on Saturday or Sunday? What's the plan right now?
Saturday will be the Knicks preview, Sixers review.
Okay. That sounds good to me. Yeah, I don't think I got anything else. Obviously, follow us at Locked On Pacers on Twitter. Follow Tony at Teased NBA. He's at 1,000, I think, 8 followers at this point.
So that's 11 after right.
Oh, 11.
I should let you guys know I tweeted today a video. It's called Paul George Clutch Shots for the Pacers, and it's just 8 seconds of black screen.
I was going to say we should do our best tweets of the day, and that was either going to be mine or the John Fillet one where he tweeted Dan Dockage. I'm going to pull it up real quick. What was the tweet you had as your best tweet of the day?
My best tweet of the day was from iPacers blog saying, the Pacers are 3-0 when Domantas Sabonis shoots 100% from the field and 0-3 when he shoots anything other than 100% from the field.
So I see. I'm trying to find John Fillet's tweet. I cannot find it this moment.
Just go to your own profile.
I thought I did, but it's not loading on my thing, so I didn't see it. For some reason, it didn't quote tweet. So I'm gonna scroll through real quick and see if I can find it. You got anything else you got to talk about before I tell this tweet?
No. My following everybody was my only one, which is it. I got nothing.
All right. Well, basically, the tweet was like that. It said, Pacers should trade Miles Turner right away, and quoting Dan Dockage was the idea of it. I think he might have deleted the tweet.
He did. Dan Dockage loves his flaming takes.
That's what it was. That's why I couldn't find it. He deleted the tweet. So
he did. All right. Well, guys, thank you for tuning in. We're going to have a lot of episodes this week, as usual. If you don't like the weekend episodes, let us know. We don't really know what you guys feel about those, so we're kind of curious. But
yeah.
Remember to tweet at us or email us at LOPacers. And everybody have a great rest of your week and keep enjoying this Victor Oladipo Pacers-led team.